Jai Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hare.
Thank you.
Instructions on the worship of Govardhan Hill. After everyone has eaten to his full satisfaction, you should all decorate yourselves beautifully, smear your bodies with sandalwood paste, then circumambulate the cows, the brahmanas, the sacrificial fires in Govardhan Hill. Lord Krishna wanted all the human beings and even the animals to eat nice Bhagavad Prasad, sanctified foods offered to the Lord. To enthuse his relatives with a festive mood, he requested them to dress beautifully. The essential activity, however, was the circumambulation of the holy brahmanas, cows, sacrificial fires, and especially Lord commenting that amongst the various reasons why Krishna personally instructed that everyone from the most exalted Govardhan Hill down to the outcasts, the aboriginals, the dogs, everyone be fed sumptuously, because he wanted everyone's full participation in this festival. This is one of few festivals where elaborate instructions were given by the Lord himself on all details of performance of the festivities. In all traditions, mountains are symbolic for places of safety, protection, heightened consciousness, the presence of the Lord, and consequent potential for revelation, as we see in Mount Sinai, the Temple Mount, Mount of Olives, Mount Carmel. Mountains signify presence and closeness to God. Whereas in relation to man, mountains signify pride, arrogance, and consequently disaster. Furthermore, mountains are axial, as with Mount Meru, axis of the world, axis of a religion or a tradition. In Govardhan Mountain, used to be mountain range, contains all these themes. In the spiritual world, Govardhan Hill grew out of the desire of Srimati Radharani, who in the pastime of Rasa Lila requested Krishna to fulfill her desire. And Krishna said, "You are the love of my heart. Whatever you desire, I will fulfill." So she requested that here in Vrindavan, create the most ideal place for the performance of Rasa Lila. So looking within himself, to the core of his heart, the love within him emerged as a seed of bliss and entered into the soil and very quickly grew larger and larger into a huge mountain until Krishna put his hand on the mountain and said, "That's big enough, you can stop growing now." And that mountain was the most enchanting form of his expanded love, awarding the most exquisite arrangements for the pleasure of his devotees and the fulfillment of his pastimes. And Sri Sri Radha and Krishna spent the rest of the day exploring the many forests and groves and caves and lakes and waterfalls and hiding places on Govardhan Hill. In the material world, Govardhan Hill appeared because when the devas approached Lord Rama, regarding the plight of the earth and the pious souls who were being tormented by demons who were opposing as the royal or kshatriyas, who were supposed to give protection to the earth and the pious souls, but were instead exploiting the resources of the earth and tormenting the good people. So they approached Lord Brahma, he took them to Lord Vishnu, and Lord Vishnu took them aboard a boat which sailed up the Ganga through the hole in the universe from the causal ocean. And the demigods saw their universe is the smallest of innumerable universes, which is like little insignificant as bubbles in the ocean, Karna Ocean. And crossing beyond the Brahmajyoti and over all the Vaikunthas, they came to Golok and approached Lord Krishna beneath the desire tree and saw all the various forms of the Lord entering into the body of Krishna, who sat very nonchalantly. And they requested him to descend. And he agreed. And then Srimati began to cry that, "My Lord, without you I cannot live. You have agreed to protect the devas and the earth. That is your vow, that is your duty. But my vow is that I cannot live without you." And he said, "Well, you're coming with me." And she said, "But how can I go to a place where there's no Vrindavan forest, no shade of Govardhan, no flow of Jamuna? How can I live?" And he said, "But I've already sent them down." She looked and she saw it down on earth. They'd already descended. And Govardhan Hill actually appeared in the Satya Yuga as the son of Dronachala, west of
Bharatvarsha.
And with his appearance in the world, the personified Himalayas and other great mountains all went to worship him and circumambulate him, offering their prayers in the form of song as they danced around the mountain who they nicknamed Giriraj, the king of all the mountains. And then Palasthi Muni, in the course of his travels, was so enchanted with the beauty and charm of Govardhan that he requested Dronatsala that, "I would like to take your son to Varanasi to be my place of meditation." Dronatsala was reluctant to refuse the request of the sage, but he couldn't imagine living without Govardhan, but he had to agree. And Govardhan didn't want to leave his father, and he definitely wanted to go to Varanasi. So he said, "I'll go with you, but if you ever put me down, that's where I stay." So then he mounted the hand of the sage, who, traversing the airways, proceeded to Varanasi. And Govardhan was looking down and realized, "There is Braj. There's my home. There's where Krishna will appear to enjoy me." And then he became more and more increasingly heavy, while simultaneously he inspired this urge in the sage that he had to answer the call of nature. So as the mountain was getting heavier and heavier and the urge was becoming strong, he had to land. It happened to be Braj. And he placed the mountain down, performed his duty, and then went to take the hill with him and get up. And then he got mad. "Why aren't you coming with me?" He said, "That was the condition. If you put me down, that's where I stay." So then he got angry and he cursed Govardhan that, "You will shrink the size of one mustard seed every day," which is why he is so small now. So the worship of Govardhan Hill is Krishna's answer to, I mean, it's so many things. It is one of the most illuminating and inclusive pastimes as far as instruction goes. But for sadhakas, it demonstrates, it illustrates an internal obstacle, anartha, that must be overcome. And this is the utilitarian concept. Which is acceptable and even desirable in so much as it does not interfere with our surrender to Krishna. Utilitarian principle means the mutual work on the basis of mutual cooperation for the safety and upliftment and well-being of society. But Lord Krishna descended to teach exclusive devotional service, pure bhakti. The pursuance of which means we may have to at times forsake ordinary ritualistic, social, or family duties, the consequence of which could result in the destruction of the world, as it would have in the Brijabasis forsaking the worship of Indra. But Krishna also wanted to convey his assurance that no harm can ever befall his devotees if, for the sake of serving and pleasing him, they have to abandon other duties and rituals Because they are bound only by the law of spiritual love. And therefore, even the cosmic law itself is not binding on devotees due to their shelter and protection by the personal arrangements of Lord Krishna himself. So being simultaneously one of the most instructive as well as one of the most blissful of all festivities and truly axial to the Gaudiya Vaishnava faith. And as we hear in the Bhagavatam, Lord Krishna himself personally instructed Nanda how to perform Govinda Puja. After first, you know, speaking his karma mimamsa, which is atheistic philosophy, to convince Nanda he didn't have to worship Indra. Because bear in mind, Govinda Puja comes the day after Diwali. A time when people in Bharatvarsha are very absorbed in all kinds of rituals and social and family duties. And this transpired, Krishna's instructions to Nanda Maharaj, in the very same village where Krishna had just delivered the wives of the brahmanas who were too much attached to their ritualistic ceremonies. And right there, in that same village, he saw the Brijabasis making elaborate arrangements for the worship of Indra. So he asked Nanda Maharaj, what is this you're arranging? Who is the officiating priest? Who is it meant to worship? And Nanda explained that, you know, because we're cowherds, we must worship Indra for rain, essential to ourselves and our flocks. And Krishna defeated that argument in so many ways. He said, you have to worship someone for rain? Who in the ocean worships someone for rain? What's the need? Besides that, during the monsoon, the rain makes everyone miserable. Is the monsoon the benefit of someone who becomes pleased by our sacrifice and worship of him? I think we should abandon this sacrifice. And then he spoke karma mimamsa, that everything is based on karma. And Indra, if there is such a being, can only award you results that you yourself merit by your work. And as Vaishyas, you know, we have four, you know, banking, farming, trading, agriculture, cow protection. But we are exclusively devoted to cow protection. And that fulfills all our needs and is the source of all our bounty and opulence. So just forget this worship of Indra and worship Govardhan Hill, which, true to his name, Govardhana, increases the joy and satisfaction and prosperity of the cows and the cowherds. Simultaneously, Krishna was aware that Indra had ascended a mountain of pride. Krishna, at this time, he is 7 years old, which means for 6 years he had seen this ceremony. He had no objection. He'd seen it since time immemorial, and he had no objection. Because Krishna desires that we show proper respect to authorities. The problem now was that Indra had become so much accustomed to this worship. He'd become proud. Indra is worthy of worship. He wields so much power and authority and performs so much service on behalf of Lord Krishna. But the worship is truly meant for Krishna because the empowerment to perform that service comes from Krishna. But pride means an over-exaggeration of one's own abilities, thinking that it's me, it's my ability, and therefore this respect is meant for me. And therefore, when one becomes proud, it renders ineffective his worship.
and service.
So, but this is all external considerations. The internal being that Krishna is now 7 years old. He wants to associate with the gopis who are now 6 years old. They haven't spent enough time together to really develop a deep internal relationship. And there's nothing like a camping excursion to minimize all formalities and official observances. He wanted to spend 1 week with all the Brijabasis. Nobody had to go home. Everyone was spending their whole time with Krishna. This is his own internal thinking. So, he asked Nanda Maharaj, who is the abode of all bliss and simplicity and kindness, "My dear father, why is everyone running around mechanically?" And then he sat in Nanda Maharaj's lap, said, "Please explain it to me if you think I can understand." And then Nanda gave his reasoning for performing. And the way Nanda Maharaj said it is that by worshipping the demigods, they, the demigods, preserve what we have and provide what we lack and award us peace of mind. And hearing that, Krishna had to smile, because those words were so bitter to him. Such a contrast to the actual peace formula. Oktaram yakatapasam sarva loka maheshwaram suradam sarvabhutanam gyatam mam shantam rijati. Those who understand that Lord Krishna is the supreme proprietor, benefactor of all austerities and sacrifice, and the best friend of all living entities, they alone can attain peace. But Nanda was saying, the worship of the demigods provides what we lack, preserves what we have, and awards peace in Krishna. That was so bitter to Krishna, and he had to smile to conceal his actual feelings and distaste. And then he just mesmerized all the Brijabasis with his eloquent discourse on atheism. And they didn't really believe what he said, but they loved him, and they would do anything to please him. So, immediately, they began making their preparations. Auspicious vibrations filled the sky. Everyone was dancing. They decorated the cows so beautifully that the little cows were so delighted they began jumping and dancing and running around in great joy, seeing their mothers so beautifully dressed. And everyone was excited and inspired, and in no time they had arranged this whole hill, Anukut, of grains with boulders made of cookies and kuns filled with milk sweets. And waterfalls of ghee cascading over the delicious sabjis, giving the whole mountain a golden aura. And just to encourage the Brijavasis and assure them that Govardhan is truly a person, Krishna expanded himself into a huge form up on top of the hill and said, "Look, Govardhan has appeared in person to accept our offerings." And then Krishna led all the Brijabasis in bowing down before the personified form of Govardhan, who looked just like Gopal, except the one on the mountain was huge and the little one at the foot of the mountain was small. And then, with thousands of arms, some long and some short, he just reached out all over Brajabhumi. And in no time, he scooped up all the offerings. And the milk sweet, they made the hill, the Anukut, But simultaneously, they had filled all the kuns of Braj with milk sweets and made little hills everywhere to offer to Govardhan. And with his thousands of arms, some long and some short, he scooped up all the hills of grains, all the cookies, all the sabjis, and emptied all the kuns. Even such large lakes as Manasaganga, which was filled with milk sweets, he just emptied everything. He devoured the whole landscape in an instant and said, Anayor, give me more. And the Vrijavasis were looking around. Anayor, Anayor, give me more. But they'd already given him everything. But he was dissatisfied. He kept calling out, Anayor, Anayor, give me more, give me more. And what was there left to offer? And then one wise brahmana took a tulsi leaf and held it out to Govardhan, which he accepted and was satisfied. This is the nature of bhakti. Krishna does not look so much at how much you offer, he looks at what you hold back for yourself. And patram pushpam balam dayam yome bhakti rajati. All you have to offer is a leaf, a flower, a little water, if it is imbued with love to satisfy him. So as the music resounded and the dancing became just euphoric, Kavi Karnapur comments that though the jiva soul is infinitesimal in size, it is capable of experiencing unlimited, immeasurable joy. So the Brijavasis began to circumambulate Govardhan with the cows in front. And when they came to Jamuna, who is the sister to Yamaraj, it was the day, I can't remember because it's very elaborate, the Sanskrit, but it's the day the sisters worship and serve and pray for their brothers. So we'll just call it Brothers' Day. It was Brothers' Day, if there is such a thing. It actually is. They don't call it that, but I can't remember the Sanskrit. So Sunanda, the very qualified, cultured, loving, gentle, simple daughter of Upananda, asked Damodar, because she was his cousin, I guess, daughter of father's brother, his cousin, something like that. She asked Damodar, will you be my brother today? And he said yes. So she prepared such a feast for Krishna. And then Krishna sat down with Haladar and, of course, Madhu Mangal, who amused everyone throughout the meal with his jokes. And then he said, this is a good festival because, you know, ordinarily I'm just starving. But yesterday we had such a feast, I was actually satisfied. And then today we had another feast and I'm satisfied. So I declare that every day should be Brother's Day. So the Brijavasis were just euphoric with joy and love and overflowing of goodwill and feeling of peace in the protection of Govardhan. But Indra was burning with rage. How dare these Brijavasis give up my worship because of the childish talk of this infant? These Brijavasis have become proud and they have lost their intelligence, making them as dull and dumb as the animals they tend. It's actually a case of projection because Indra had lost his intelligence because of pride, attachment, and contemplating the objects of the senses. One becomes attached, and then from lust comes anger, because lust can never be satisfied. From anger, delusion, bewilderment of memory, one falls down. So Indra was saying, he was telling his associate, these Brijavasis, have become overtaken by pride. Punish them. And he called the Samvartika clouds, which are meant for no purpose other than the pralaya, the dissolution of the universe at the end of the creation. So they were surprised that they were called to duty before it was time for the apocalypse. So they came, what is it? He said, it's just a small task. It only involves one little cowherd village, but destroy it completely. So immediately, a vast cloud bank covered the sun, plunging the entire universe into total darkness. And an ominous group of clouds racing across the sky, circling Braj, expanding darkness in all directions, plunged the whole creation into blinding darkness, except for Braj, which was illuminated by the effulgent toenails of Gopal. And then the rains came down like a raging river that had just broken through its dam. And the clouds were roaring ferociously. And then the Brijabasis prayed to Krishna, Krishna, Krishna Mahabhago, most fortunate ones, please protect your cows, they're suffering. And Krishna, Krishna, you're so affectionate to your devotees, please protect us as well. And he understood. He said, this assault, because the Brijabasis were saying, this is like some big anarta, which is causing us so much trouble. He said, no, it's actually as irrelevant as is hunger after you've enjoyed a sumptuous feast. So you can really understand a lot about psychology by just seeing whether or not or how Krishna tightens his belt before he engages in battle with someone. So in this case, taking on the armies of Indra, the most powerful kshatriya, Krishna didn't tighten his belt because he wanted to show complete contempt for the arrogance that Indra had succumbed to. And then as effortlessly as a child would pick up a mushroom, Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill. And when the mountain was detached from the earth, it made a crack and a roar that just resounded throughout the whole universe, terrifying everyone in creation except the Brijabasis, who were too joyful to be intimidated by Indra's retaliation. And as he lifted the hill, Indra saw from his abode in the heavenly planets the peaks of Govardhan rising above the clouds and above his own garden. And the deer and the birds and the boars which were wandering around the peak of Govardhan were not even aware that the whole universe was being destroyed at this time. They were just grazing nonchalantly. And then Indra realized that he was playing with fire. Whereas down below the clouds, Govardhan Hill never appeared more beautiful. Held on Krishna's little finger of his left hand, it appeared like an umbrella, bedecked with jewels. And the clouds were like the lace surrounding an umbrella. The rivers were like jewels embellishing that lace. The drops were like dripping pearls. And when he lifted the hill, some loose rocks fell down and made a moat all the way around Braj. And Krishna said, just enter underneath the hill. And they looked under the hill, and there was an effulgent valley, splendid in beauty and brimming with overflowing delights of every variety, and vast fields of fresh barley, very tasty to the cows, and a new village made of charm. And the atmosphere resounded with the sounds of waterfalls from the rain surrounding them on all sides. And Krishna said, just enter within this new village. And they entered, and each and every one of the Brijabasis, whether human, cow, animal, bird, or plant, all saw that Krishna was looking just at them. Everyone was experiencing simultaneously, Krishna is looking at me alone. He's speaking and interacting with me alone. He's understanding my every inner desire and longing and aspiration, and he's reciprocating with that perfectly. Not in pride, because they were aware that all these other Brijabasis are so much better than me, but how glorious is Krishna who's interacting just with me. But Mother Jashoda was so concerned that Gopal, she saw a little perspiration on his forehead. She was so concerned. He must be tired from holding that mountain. So she raised her hand next to Gopal's and said, Gopal, let me support your hand. And Madha Mangal said, no, Mother Jashoda, don't be concerned about your Gopal. He's not holding up the hill. It's floating in the air by the strength of my mantras. And Krishna said, really, Mother Jashoda, it's actually too much fun. And then he, with his right hand, he raised his flute to his lips, and that set an alarm through the ranks of the Brijabasis. And Madha Mangal said, Gopal, don't play your flute, because we know the effects of that sound. It makes mountains melt and rivers turn to stone. And if that mountain over our heads melts in the midst of a devastation, we'll be in big trouble. But then why are we joking and laughing in the midst of this catastrophe? Has someone cast a spell upon us? And then as Srimati, understanding that Krishna had arranged this to fulfill her heart's longing, because she's 6 years old now, time to enter into a mature relationship with Krishna. And when she cast her sweet glance through her veil, and Krishna's hand began to tremble, then all the Brijabasis held up their sticks. We'll hold up the hill, Gopal. They said, okay. And then he let it down a little bit. And then they saw, Gopal, we can't hold it up. We're totally dependent on you. And in this makeshift village beneath Govardhan Hill, Krishna's Kastuba gem, which illuminates, which radiates illumination of spiritual nature, created rainbows all around. So there was another storm going on underneath the hill while the apocalypse raged all around. It was a storm of loving relationships. The sun was Kastuba. The rainbow was Krishna's peacock feather. And what was just like 7 moments for the Brijabasis was like 7 millennia for Indra. He got such a headache. And he sent his spies, go to Braj and report what you see. And they came back. He said, it's gone. Everything's submerged. He felt uneasy. He said, go check again, see if there's any survivors. And they came back and said, it's a total wipeout. There's no one left. He said, well, go look more closely. They went and looked more closely and came back and said, Indra, they're having a festival. The inundation has just brought them all closer together and closer to Krishna. And then, after 7 days, it was like the wife of time had aborted 7 children in the form of days. And she gave birth to her 8th child, the Ashtami, the auspicious 8th day, when Indra recalled the clouds. And the sun and the moon, which are like the eyes of the universal form, they again opened after 1 week of sleep. And the earth felt as enlivened as she had, being uplifted on the tusks of Adivaraha. And Krishna said, no. And then they saw that their original village was still there. It was just more clean, glistening in the rising sun. And Krishna told the gopis, you can take the cows out to pasture now, but they didn't want to leave. Krishna himself had to herd the cows out, but then they ran back. He herded them out again. And then he tossed the hill as gently as a flower. And Govardhan came back upon the surface of the earth. And then the demigods descended and began praising Krishna for his wonderful pastime of protecting the Brijabasis by the lifting of Govardhan Hill. This was not very pleasing to Nanda Maharaj. And he preached to the demigods, you know, this Aishwarya mood in which you're worshipping my Gopal is neither natural nor intimate. After the demigods offered their prayers, Krishna was attracted back to Govardhan Hill. And he was surveying the damage. And then he saw a cow who spoke. She said, Gopal, you see behind me that person cowering in the bushes? That's Indra. He's overcome with grief and very repentant, and he's afraid to approach you. So I'm appealing on his behalf, please forgive him. And then Indra came out and bowed down his crown at the toes of Gopal's feet. And Indra said that for me, being blinded by pride, a stick is the proper, appropriate form of mercy. And he apologized to Krishna with great repentance. And then a wonderful thing happened. Because what was like 7 moments of pure joy for the Brijabasis was like 7 millennia of agony for Indra. But his conclusion, after all that suffering, when he came before Krishna repentant, and Krishna forgave him, he proclaimed to the world that though Gopal's name was previously Abhiram, which means most pleasing, from today on, he should be known as Govinda, he who gives pleasure to the mind, the senses, the earth, and the cows. And then Surabhi began the bathing ceremony. Govardhan became the throne for the Abhishek to enthrone, to, what do you call it? When he is crowned, to coronate Abhiram with his new name and title, Govinda. And all the personified hills and rivers and the devas appeared. Vayu became the Chamaras. Sudarshan expanded himself into many lamps to illuminate the sacrificial arena. The personified oceans and lakes and kuns and rivers brought pots of their holy waters, and Bhumi, personified, came before Krishna to offer her jewels. The sylvan gods offered their fruits, and the Van Devis offered their fragrances. The goddess of the Malaya offered sandalwood, and Agni became the incense. Garuda spread his wings like a canopy over the whole sacrificial arena. And then as the various mantras came in person to bathe Gopal, they saw one young boy, effulgent and beautiful, who no one at first recognized. And then Brahma said, "This is the Gopal mantra personified, whose meter is Gayatri, and who removes all obstacles on the path of bhakti." Lord Shiva began the puja, and the milk ocean offered the conch shells, but there was no stands, so Mount Meru expanded into the stands for the conch shells. Narada sang the kirtan, the lila kirtan, Govardhan Lila, after which Brahma began to distribute the Mahaprasad. And after the devas departed, Indra and Surabhi stayed on. And Surabhi revealed her heart to Gopal. And she said, "All along, this Indra has been my Indra. But we had so much trouble with this particular authority. Gopal, will you now be my Indra?" Which is another name of, another meaning of Govinda, the controller, the Indra of the cows and the senses. And then Krishna said yes, but he turned to Indra and very innocently, very sweetly, in his gentle, childlike manner, said, "Is your anger now pacified? Please, Indra, be truthful with me, because you're actually very dear to me, and therefore it is improper for you to conceal the inner mood of your heart. Are you pacified now? I did not act out of enmity or envy or revenge. I acted to protect you." The real protection offered by the lifting of Govardhan Hill was not to the Brijavasis. The protection was offered to Indra, who had become the victim of his own mind. So Gopal told him, I enacted this lila to reveal how inappropriate it is for any of my servants to become inflicted with pride, because it renders all their service meaningless. And therefore the contrast is given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Trinada Bhisanichena. In utter humility only can you chant the holy name constantly, because only then will you have a taste, only then will Krishna reciprocate, because only then are you in the proper mood as a servant. Gopal continued, my intent was to favor you by relieving you of the effects of that poison of false pride. Now, return to Swarga and enjoy your position, but don't be carried away by attachment to power and wealth and enjoyments of heaven, because you'll again lose your intelligence. So after this time back at Govardhan, being coronated king of the cows, Govinda, it actually took quite some time to hear all the Deva's prayers and reciprocate with them properly. But back in Braj, everyone thought, Gopal's just gone for an instant. And then immediately they saw him returning. And when he returned to Vrindavan, more beautiful and fragrant than ever before, it seemed as if he had been gone for only a moment. So this Govardhan Puja, established under the instructions of Lord Krishna himself, demonstrates how Govardhan is one of the pivotal mountains, pivotal to the Vaishnava faith in Siddhanta. And therefore Mahaprabhu himself, even in Puri, seeing the Chatak Parvat, but he didn't see a stand and he saw Govardhan. And quoting Srimati herself when questioned by all her friends, how do we overcome the obstacles to meet with Krishna? And she said, the blessings of the devotees is the only means to overcome obstacles. Who's the best devotee? Best devotee is Yudhisthira, Uddhava, Narada, Bhishma, Janak. But the epithet Haridas Varya is reserved for Giriraj himself. We should worship Giriraj. But they couldn't even see Giriraj. They were so far away. But Giriraj appeared at the window to give his darshan and also to have their darshan. And they discuss, and then a long discussion ensued on the reasoning. We can say that Govardhan is Haridas Varya, decorated with the... But the conclusion, or the essence of the conclusion, was what Mahaprabhu was saying, was singing as he was running to embrace Govardhan. It wasn't Govardhan, it was Chatak Parvat, but to him it was Govardhan. Of all the devotees, this Govardhan hill is the best. All my friends, this hill provides Krishna and Balaram and all their cows, calves, and cowherd friends with all their necessities. Water for drinking, very soft grass, caves, fruits, flowers, and vegetables. In this way, Govardhan hill offers respects to the Lord, being blessed by the touch of the lotus feet of Sri Krishna and Balaram. Govardhan.